إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. وبعد, my dear brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu mentioned the criterion and the quality of the believers, and he said, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّا لِلَّهِ. Allah said, the believers are those who love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu more than anyone and anything else. أَشَدُّ حُبَّا لِلَّهِ, the most, the greatest, they love Allah with the greatest strength, with the greatest depth of feeling. Now this is the quality of the believers mentioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. Now what is the proof that we fit this? One of the things that, there are two things which are essential and which are the quality of anyone who loves anything. One is the amount of time that person spends with that which is beloved to them. That's a sign of love, that the amount of time you spend with the beloved. And second one is, where it applies, is the effort you take in order to please the beloved. So time, for example, if you say I love photography, then we would expect to spend a lot of time taking photographs, because that's something you love. If you say I love horse riding, then we'd expect that you spend a lot of time with horses. But where the beloved is a person or you know, somebody who is you communicate with, for example, there is also the element of pleasing that person. So you can't say that I love somebody and then I am doing things which anger that person or which displease that person. It's the opposite. I mean, you can't say I love someone and then do something against their will. So these two criteria, ta'ala lahul amthal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is beyond any example we give. But these two criteria, if you apply to our love and say, what is it that I am doing in order to please Allah? Pleasure comes from making an additional effort. For the pleasure of the beloved, you don't do what is normal, you do what is super normal. You do something which you would not normally do for other people. Now, even with our own friendships, we say to somebody, only because of you I am doing this. Which means normally I would not have done it. Only because of you. Because you told me I am doing this. And this is the same criterion we apply. And we ask Allah also, subhanahu wa ta'ala, also to apply this criterion to us when we make dua. To say that, Ya Allah, you would not have given to anyone else, but because I asked, give me. Yeah? Give me because I am asking. Not for any other reason. Because I am asking, you give me. Now to be able to say that, we have to, you know, try to do something to create an excuse for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept this statement. So therefore, what is it that I am doing to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is special, which otherwise I would not normally have done? And secondly is, how much time am I spending with Allah? In the sense of our concentration, the, you know, the quality of our salat and so on and so forth. I mentioned this many times before. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, somebody asked his servant and they said, please describe for me. And this was one of the qualities of the real people who wanted to learn, which is that they asked about the lives of their teachers. You know, they went to their family, they went to their servants and so on. There are many hadiths where people asked Sayyidah Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha about Rasulullah's life. People asked about the lives of the Salaf, and that's because of their own desire. I want to learn. How do I learn from somebody who I consider to be worthy of learning? So somebody asked the servant of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he said, please tell me about the life of Abdullah ibn Abbas. The man said, he waits from one salah for the next salah. From one salah, he waits for the next salah, and in between he recites Quran. So after praying Salatul Fajr, he is waiting for us. See, the issue is, in these things we should reflect on the words. Waiting for means what? You don't wait for, I'm not waiting to get a cold. I'm not waiting to jam my finger in the door. You wait for something which is pleasant, which you look forward to. I am waiting for something which is, we are waiting for Ramadan, inshallah. Why? Because of all the benefits of Ramadan. So we wait for something which is good and which we look forward to. So waiting for itself means that Salah is something that is so lovely, so beautiful for the man that he is waiting for it. He finished one, I am waiting for the next one. And in that period, he recites Quran. So he is not left the presence and connection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even for a second, continuously. And he was a businessman, so he used to do business also. So he would be going to his shop or whatever it was. But continuously that connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not interrupted even for a second. Now this shows the love that Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu had for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu inshallah. That's the, I'm talking about a standard. We talk about Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It is reported, they said that even while he was sleeping, his heart would be in dhikr and you could hear a sound. If you went close to his chest, you could hear a sound of the heart making dhikr. This is the quality of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We're talking about the quality of the Salaf. So therefore, how much time do I spend with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So in time of dhikr, of fikr, of thinking, of tilawatul Quran, or you know, whatever the kind of dhikr, but how much of time am I really spending? Or am I distracted somewhere in this world? The beauty of this is that this is what gives us peace of mind. This is what gives us, I was just reading the number of people who, in Holland, they have euthanasia is made legal. So you can, for various reasons, you can commit suicide, so to speak. Or you can go to a doctor and say, you know. So they were talking about terminal illness and so on and so on. It's a big debate in terms of what should be done, should not be done. So we're not talking about, I'm not going into the debate. I'm just saying the number of suicides, euthanasia or otherwise. I mean, euthanasia, you might still have. Islamically, it's not allowed, but I'm saying people might have an argument in favor of that. But talking about suicides alone, just do a Google search and see. Celebrity suicides. Do this Google search and see that. I always say celebrity suicide. Who is dying? People who are at the peak of whatever we are chasing in this dunya. So at the time the person dies, he's worth millions of dollars. They've got big houses, they've got all kinds of property, they've got big popularity and this and that. So why do you commit suicide? For what? Because we are chasing all that. Right? We are chasing all that. And we think that happiness is going to be there. Where is the happiness? The people who already have it are committing suicide. So how is it that you are going to find happiness in that place? The one who has it already is jumping from the top. So the whole issue is, and that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ala bi dhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub. The peace of mind and tranquility is in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not in money and you know whatever this dunya. None of this is, except for that which is prohibited in the Sharia, none of it is haram. Nobody says don't have money, nobody says. The issue is how attached are you to that? How much of your time does that occupy? How does that make you ghafil from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu? If your possessions are taking you away from the zikr of Allah, if your possessions that are distracting you, taking away your attention, then that possession is from shaitan. I mean, it's something which is a curse on you. But the same possession, if you are using it in order to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alhamdulillah. So a measure of, yesterday we talked about this minimalist thinking, you know, do the minimum possible. You pray salah, just pray whatever is the first salah and walk away. We don't pray sunnah, we don't pray nawafil, nothing. And that fard also, you don't take the trouble to go to the masjid, you pray in your home or wherever. As I said, I'm not talking about people who are not praying. That's a different issue. Even people who are praying. You pray in the house. Why do you pray in the house? I'm not giving you the fatwa of this. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in one hadith, it is reported, he said that I wish I could tell Bilal radiallahu anhu to call the adhan, and then I would go to the houses of those who have not come to the masjid and I would burn the house down with the person in it. Then you tell me, how is your salah varied in your house? So I'm not talking about the fact, I'm not saying your salah is not valid. Inshallah, your salah is valid. But the point is that why have masajid at all? If we are supposed to pray in our homes, there's no need for a masjid, no? Why should you have a masjid? So let us demolish all the masajid, then make malls. Makes no sense. Why do you have a masjid? For what? To keep it empty. To spend money on maintenance of the masjid and nobody goes there. So the whole point is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us opportunities to demonstrate our love for Him Jalla Jalaluhu. So I need to remind myself and you, we need to ask ourselves, how am I demonstrating this love? How much time am I spending with Allah? What am I doing extra to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu? Something which are over and above the fard. That is the reason why the hadith of Qudsi with regard to this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, my slave comes close to me with the nawafil. Faraid is the boundary condition. If you don't fulfill the fard, then you are somewhere else. So just saying that I am praying my fard salah, there is no favor to anybody. That shows that you are a Muslim. If you are not praying the fard salah, then there is no guarantee that you are even a Muslim in the first place. But after praying for salah, what else? Extra. Giving zakat 2.5%, this is fard. If you refuse to give that, then iman itself is in question. What more am I doing? So two things. One is, what am I doing extra to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And two is, how much time do I spend with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq to do that which is pleasing to Him, and to enable us to do things which lead us close to Him, and to fill our hearts with love for Him Jalla Jalaluhu. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from all sorts of distractions which take us away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.